Good morning. I've been meaning for the longest time to do a study, a devotional, on the idea of will versus free will. I believe the two things are totally different. The word will by itself means an ability to make decisions. It makes us persons. It makes us not robots. If we have a will, we're not a robot. Robots don't have a will. Free will is two words. People don't realize this, but it is. It's two words, free and will. And free implies that the will is free from something. I want to look first at the book of Jonah, because the book of Jonah starts with, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." That was God's command to Jonah. And Jonah replies like this, or he's responding like this, "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And some people immediately see, there's free will. God told Jonah to do something. And Jonah did just the opposite. That shows his will is free. And I would ask, what is his will free from? Is it free from sin? No, because Jesus says in John 8:34, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And I would say that Jonah's direct disobedience to God showed that he was still a slave, at least in some sense, to sin. And so his will was not free from sin. And then you might say, well, he's free from God's sovereignty. Well, that's shown not to be true as well, because in the very next verse it says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners," or sailors, "were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lower parts of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. And so the captain came to him and said, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us that we may not perish.'" And so they're all praying, the soldiers are praying, but Jonah is sleeping in the bottom of the ship. And they said, "Come, let us cast lots." And they cast lots, and the lots fall on Jonah, and they know it's Jonah that's the cause of this trouble, and he admits it. And they throw him into the water. And when they throw him into the water, actually I skipped some of this, but they throw him into the water. And at that time, if Jonah's will was free of God's sovereignty, and part of God's sovereignty is the law of gravity, that's God's law, if he was free of that, he could fly up to heaven instead of going down and punch God in the nose and say, "I am not going to Nineveh. That is final. I'm on my way to Tarshish." He could have just told God that he wasn't going to go that way. But he didn't. He did not resist God's law of gravity. He went down into the water. And why is that? Well, his will was not free from the law of gravity. It was bound. It was limited to that. He had a will. He definitely desired to go to Tarshish, and that will was expressed in his disobedience to God. But his will was thwarted. Thwarted means it wasn't free. Didn't allow him to do everything he wanted to, and so he ends up not only in the water and drowning, as he probably would had expected, but he ends up in the belly of a great fish. And there's some debate whether it's a great fish or a whale or whatever. The word, they didn't distinguish between the fish and the whales that are mammals in those days, so we don't know. But he was in the mouth and the belly of one of those, just according to God's will, because God had ordained that fish to go there. And it seems that he vomited Jonah up onto dry land, right in the right place at Nineveh, right where God wanted him. And Jonah reluctantly, that's after praying. Jonah reluctantly does what God wanted him to. And why is that? Because he did not have a free will. He could not do whatever he desired. And he preaches and they're converted. And he's even mad at that. Jonah's mad at that. And he complains to God even about the conversion of these people. I know you are a gracious God, he says. And we see there that Jonah is still sinning. He still didn't really desire to do and desire what God desired. He was still sinful inside. I'm not saying that this makes Jonah worse than any of us. Jonah had a prayer life. Obviously, he was talking to God face to face or word to word and stuff like this. And the thing is, none of us have free wills by nature. We're all bound in sin. And even after we become Christians, and in one sense, Christ sets us free enough that we become believers, we still struggle with sin. So we see the will is not free from sin, nor is it free from God's sovereignty. If my will was free, I would probably have a lot different life than I do now. But Jonah gives us a good picture of how God's will is sovereign. Man's will is not free from God's power and sovereignty. Even when you look at the beginning, you know, back with Adam. Adam had a will that was free from sin for a while. And yet his will was never free from God's sovereignty. That's why God could say, in the day thou eats, you eat of this tree. It's the King James coming in. In the day you eat of this tree, you will surely die. He could say that because he still had control over Adam. Satan said, you shall not surely die, to Eve. And they took of that tree. And it's interesting, they didn't die immediately. Again, Ham says that the Hebrew says, dying you will die. And I believe they did die spiritually and they would later die physically. And it was exactly as God said. And they did not have a will free from God's sovereignty. If they did, they could say, hey, I'm not going to die. And I'm not going to go to hell either. I refuse to. I'm going to sin all I want, and I'm going to bring my sin right up to heaven. Well, there's not a will that's like that. And that wouldn't be free anyway. It would be enslaved by sin, as Jesus said. Whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin. And that's one of the things we notice about the way the Word of God uses freedom as this very positive thing. You can't say that your will is free and sin at the same time. That's not a free will. Sinning is not a free will decision. It may be a willful decision. It's a disobedient decision. But free is too good a word to use in regard to sin. In John 8:36, Jesus says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And I think that implies victory over sin, and victory over sin in a wonderful way. Free indeed, not struggling with sin, not being pushed down with sin. And I think there's a sense that we're not free indeed until we get to heaven. And yet there's another sense that when Christ sets us free, and he talks about that, you know, you will know the truth. You know, you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That sanctification is part of the process of our being set free from sin. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you teach us things through your word. And I thank you that your word clears up these things about free will or about the will. And our wills do not save us. Only Christ saves us. We look to him for salvation. And when we look to him, we don't look back into ourselves and say, he needs our help. We need to use our free will to save ourselves. No. He saves us, and I thank you for that. And Father, I pray you'd be with me now. I pray you'd be with the church at First Presbyterian later this morning. I'll be preaching there. And I just pray that your blessing would be upon me and upon us as I speak on the book of Revelation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.